Our next speaker is Matthew Rosengart, who's a surgical critical care physician, who's going to be talking about acute kidney injury.
Good morning. Anybody who wants a copy of the slides, I'm happy to send them to you after the talk. I have no disclosures. These are the KDIGO foundations, classifications of acute kidney injury, as well as sort of an unfolding of various types of diagnostic and therapeutic and preventive interventions. And I'm going to try to build upon this to talk about four topics: fluids, the utility of clinical decision support networks, risk prediction, and biomarker-guided care bundles. I think that the proverbial nail has been driven into the coffin with regards to the use of saline in just about any patient in any intensive care unit. These are two very, very large randomized clinical trials showing that, in essence, when compared to individuals getting balanced crystalloid, that those getting saline do worse in the context of kidney injury. This one, looking at non-critically ill patients, showed almost an absolute risk increase of 1% for the combined outcome of a doubling in creatinine, renal replacement therapy, as well as death. And the same thing actually is true for those individuals who are critically ill. Question is this relevant to our surgical patients? And the answer is yes. This study actually predated it by about 6 years. Not a randomized controlled trial, but a nice propensity match analysis looking at a host of individuals. And what they found at the end of the day was that those individuals who got saline compared to those that got plasmolite really had an increased risk in just about any type of outcome, but importantly for the composite outcome, balanced like plasmolite wins. They also saw a marked reduction in the utilization or allocation of resources for those who got balanced fluids with regards to buffers, blood transfusions, lactic acid measurements, as well as dialysis. Now, in addition to the quality of IV fluids, the same thing can be said with regards to the quantity. I don't know how many of you have ERAS programs or enhanced recovery protocols at your hospital. We do, and anecdotally, I began to observe an increased incidence of individuals coming to the intensive care unit with acute kidney injury. The question is whether or not that's been borne out in any type of trials. And though the data is relatively preliminary, it looks as though the case is not so. This is a retrospective analysis looking at individuals with colorectal surgery and postoperative renal function, about 1,000 individuals. It was ultimately risk-adjusted. And though there was a slight increase in postoperative changes in creatinine being elevated in those who underwent an enhanced renal, an enhanced recovery protocol, this after adjustment was not significant, and there was no difference in acute kidney injury nor the need for CRT. So as it stands right now with regard to data, there's really no evidence that actually these enhanced recovery protocols that are associated with reduced fluid intraoperatively as well as postoperatively increase the incidence of acute kidney injury. What about clinical decision support networks? I think all of us embrace the idea that if you get acute kidney injury postoperatively, you're going to do worse. The question is, we're busy, and we can't always pay attention to subtle differences in creatinine. At our institution, we now have this clinical decision support alert in which any elevation in creatinine above 0.3 gets a little email that comes to your inbox, and then you decide what you should ultimately do with it. The question is, do these alerts actually help? And when you combine them with actually clinical decision support networks, the data would say that they do. This is a study looking at post-clinical decision support network for AKI versus pre. It had almost 500,000 individuals in it. And what they did was send out an alert based upon an elevation in creatinine for that stage one of the KDIGO, and then they followed the KDIGO outline. And what they ultimately saw was there was a marked decrease in hospital mortality, length of stay, and the use of dialysis for that post period where a clinical decision support network had been in place versus pre. If these results were generalized to the entire United States, we would probably save about 17,000 lives and about $1.2 billion annually in the United States. So I think that you're going to start to see, from an information technology standpoint, more and more of these CDS type of protocols coming out. But the difficult for all of us, it's pretty easy to know if your patient's in stage 1, 2, or 3. How do you predict that individual who's at high risk and then apply these preventive diagnostic or therapeutic algorithms? We don't do it well with our current biochemical analyses or physical examination or either looking at prior comorbidities, but there's some data coming out of the lab looking at we can predict it if we combine that with some biomarkers. And two biomarkers that I think you're going to see more and more at the bedside are TIMP2 and this IGF. Both are cell cycle arrest proteins. And when you add them to clinical things that we use to predict the risk of acute kidney injury, you markedly improve our ability to predict who is going to develop acute kidney injury. In fact, what the authors did was generate tertiles. So you have a group that's low risk, high risk, and the highest risk based upon the combined values, and those in the high risk and the highest risk with a threshold of 0.3 have a marked increase, odds ratio of 4 or 17.4 of developing acute kidney injury, at least by stage 2 or 3, 12 to 24 hours after these measurements were done. They've gone on to combine this biomarker analysis to be able to implement these type of interventions and prevent those individuals who don't have acute kidney injury but based upon biomarker analysis are at high risk for it. The question is, what does this ultimately do? And can you combine that with the prior clinical decision networks I talked about before to ultimately improve outcomes? And the answer is yes. There's two trials in surgical patients looking at identifying individuals based upon biomarker predictions who are at high risk for acute kidney injury but don't have it, and then implement some type of intervention to prevent it. This was a large trial looking at individuals with cardiac surgery. They had about 1,000 individuals. Again, they based it upon those biomarker thresholds that I spoke of before. And then they implemented not just the KDIGO prevention of avoiding nephrotoxins and things of that nature, but also managing their resuscitation strategy differently for those individuals who met the threshold for biomarkers. And what they observed was that those who actually had the risk prediction and algorithmic approach had a lower risk of moderate and a severe acute kidney injury developed postoperatively, as well as all acute kidney injury. Another study recently has come out, not looking at cardiac surgeries, but looking at major surgery in general. They, too, use the same thresholds of TIMP2 and IGF, and they also had an algorithmic approach where they applied the KDIGO guidelines, as well as had an automatic nephrology consultation, medication review, and an altered flow diagram with regards to fluid management. And what they saw was that they could prevent the development of acute kidney injury as well. So for all patients, the relative risk, or the, I should say, probability, was reduced to 31.7% from developing acute kidney injury versus 47.5%. Stage 2 to stage 3, which is a little bit more significant from the standpoint of what we would prevent, almost a 66% reduction. And this translated into reduced ICU median length of stays as well as hospital length of stays. So I think in conclusion, to wrap this up quite quickly, AKI is common and associated with increased costs and worse outcomes. I think for all intents and purposes, saline really should be removed from the market. I can't really find a utility for it in any type of circumstance. Not too much and not too little, just right, is probably the right thing with regards to volume resuscitation. And yes, I think we're going to be able to identify those individuals based upon the biology of acute kidney injury who have a higher risk and for which we should manage their postoperative care differently. Thanks very much. Thank you.